Ian Williams for the Catskill Review of Books, with author of 70 novels, Harry Turtledove. We start with Diana Sheets.
Diana Sheets joins us this evening to discuss what's happening to journalism these days as newspapers encounter increasing economic problems and the consequent move to the internet. Diana is the host of an internet site called literarygulag.com, and the most recent posting there is Journalism in the Age of the Internet. Diana, thanks so much for being with us on Making Waves. Let me ask you now, your recent posting, Journalism in the Age of the Internet, examines how the internet is eroding journalism. Talk to us about that. Is the internet eroding journalism? How is it making a difference?
It's making a huge impact. First of all, if you look at the younger generations if you look at young people today, they're not even going to newspapers or, for that matter, news on television. They're going to look at entertainment like the Colbert Report, or they're going to get news flashes or little runners, you know, headlines and summaries on the internet, and they are really they're the leading edge of how Americans are changing the way they digest news today. So locally, people may still read newspapers, and they may listen to the radio en route to work or doing errands. But in terms of thinking of an American population that would sit down in the morning or the evening and look at a paper newspaper to get their news, that's becoming a rarity. And as a result, the newspapers are really migrating. They've begun the process last year, but I think this year is going to be a very, very significant change in terms of the numbers of newspapers who will post their primary content on the internet.
Well, one of the things I mentioned when we were speaking earlier, I had just heard an interview with the former editor of the Washington Post and also the editor of the Christian Science Monitor. And both of those guys were talking about the Christian Science Monitor is going totally online in the spring, right? And the Washington Post is talking about how increasingly how important the online presence is to them. But I want to, and so economically, right, it's just going to be unrealistic to look at things in any other way, increasingly, I imagine, right?
Yes, well, and in the case of Christian Science Monitor, they're going to go on in April, and I think they'll have a week, and they'll be daily posts. Maybe they'll still have a weekly paper, but that's not really the same. I mean, it means their daily news is going to be conveyed online. I think that because the internet is becoming the primary source for how we get our information, that the newspapers are going to be forced to migrate entirely to the web. And I find this very unfortunate. The highlight of my day really is in the morning when I look at the New York Times, and although I don't always agree with everything that's there, it's wonderful to be able to read a paper newspaper and have discussions with people in the household about what you're reading. And I for one am going to be very unhappy as it goes entirely to the internet. But more importantly is the way people read on the internet. What all the studies show is that that what people are doing is getting headline news. And if you all of the studies that have been done based on eye tracking results indicate that basically what people do when they read on the internet is they're scanning, and the shape of how they scan, they call it Jacob Nielsen of the Nielsen Norman Group. He calls it an F shape. So they start the beginning of the page they see on the internet going all the way across, but then they quickly don't go down the center and they don't read anything on the lower right hand side. And basically what they're doing is they're just looking for things that jump out and get their attention. Mm-hmm. So you can't really call it reading in a conventional sense. So how is that going to shape the way news is presented to the public?
Well, let me ask you this, and before we go on with that, you had talked about, I mean, I know, you know, we've been talking for a long time about it's the end of reading, you know, it's the end of the book, it's the end of the newspaper, this and that. And we started out talking about how young people really aren't looking, they're just looking online to get everything online, you know. But really, when I was a kid, which was a very long time ago, I don't remember getting up in the morning and having a nice read of the New York Times, you know, even though my father was a newspaper man. I don't remember doing that until I was, you know, in my mid-20s or 30 or something like that. So, as far as that's concerned, are kids really any different?
Well, I don't know. It's certainly I didn't grow up reading the Times, but I did know one of my best friends was the they were owners of the Norwich Bulletin in Connecticut, and it was very and it was a reading family. Just as my mother was a passionate reader, and so and my greatest love was reading. But it was really an eye opener for me to go over to their house one morning, because here's a newspaper family, and they weren't talking to one another at the breakfast table, and they were all reading segments in the newspaper, and that was the only important thing as far as they were concerned.
Yeah.
They didn't even notice each other. They didn't want to talk to one another. They were all looking at the newspaper. And for me, that was astounding. My eyes just got huge, and I couldn't imagine a different way of doing things. So do I think that kids always were looking at newspapers? No, I think adults were primarily the readers of newspapers. But there were paper things around the house for them to read. There were newspapers, there were things like Time Magazine and Newsweek and periodicals, and even things like, years ago, Life Magazine. It's more pictures than anything else, but there was text, and these would be things that might pull a child in to reading and encourage them to migrate toward other books.
Okay, well, let's talk now about then. So we know, that everybody is looking at the internet. So, and that experience is vastly different from looking at a paper newspaper, right? And you mentioned the S-shape scan of things. What else is different? I mean, you say that because of this, that news reporting is like, has changed radically.
Yeah, well, there's several things that are going on. The first thing to keep in mind is that when people go to the internet, they actually don't necessarily go to authoritative sources. So when they do a search for something, or when they're looking for something, they're looking for an answer. And if the top five things aren't a prominent newspaper, they'll just go to whatever source that's listed. And frequently those sources are not, they haven't been verified. It's not clear that the content that's featured on certain websites is really correct. And so I think what you're going to find is, first of all, there will be no hierarchy of authorized news sources. The readers will go, or the lookers will go, wherever they find something that holds their interest. So that's so the notion of having vetted information that's been approved and verified to be correct is actually being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people looking for that information won't care where they get the information from. Mm. All they'll care about is this the latest thing that's happening, and does it, you know, jive with what I see out there? And so reading isn't really going to be something that they're doing at all. What they're going to be looking for are short things that jump out at them. All the eye tracker studies show is when they go to material, they're looking for things that bounce and move and do all sorts of things. And it's primarily visual. It's actually not written information at all.
Mm-hmm. And now, even I think this has happened in magazines too, that this sort of increasing kind of little boxes in articles, you know, right? It's the same thing, right?
Right. And then let's talk about the next process. How has the new medium changed the way information is conveyed? And what I've really discovered through writing and maintaining a blog is that, actually, in my opinion, they're no longer, it used to be when you were a journalist, you worked a beat on the street, you knew your sources, you developed them on a personal basis, and anything that happened on your beat, you knew intimately, and you knew everybody associated with it. Well, the beat is no longer out there on the street. It's in the internet. And if, you know, in a sci-fi sense, it's a virtual reality. It's not a real reality that happens out in the world. It's a created world. And so what journalists are doing is they're actually, you know, scanning and searching other news sources and anything that's on the internet to see what seems to have legs, what seems to move, what seems to be garnering interest. And then they go and they borrow information from other newspapers or websites or online sources, and they add to that and change it enough so you wouldn't accuse them of plagiarizing, because it's not the same story. But basically they're borrowing from all the other stories that are out there and changing the configuration and adding something new, and that becomes the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very strange process to me, because they're no longer, and keep in mind, they're no longer telling the news. If you think of old-fashioned news, which would be who, what, where, when, why, and how, that's no longer newspaper business. That's being conveyed on the internet or on television or on the radio. So what newspapers have been doing, certainly for the last 30 years, and maybe you can argue for 60 or 70 years, is they've been providing the sort of the in-depth profile and analysis that's behind the breaking news. And that isn't really news at all, and I can't see it really changing. I still see them moving along toward this profile. But what's frightening about it, or of concern to me anyhow, is that everyone is piggybacking on each other to present, in some ways, the top 30 stories.
You mean like their own variation?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't involve anything fundamentally creative or any real investigative reporting or uncovering something that might be substantially new.
Where does this story come from? Somebody's got to break this story.
Oh, sure.
Right?
I mean, you'll get something that will happen. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, there'll be an event or a press release, or, you know, there'll be, for instance, you could have Israel declaring, you know, going to war, and so that will be the breaking news story. But then the profile stories that follow will be, they'll be building and playing off one another and borrowing. And the interesting thing about the way the internet works, because it's anonymity, people don't really feel any compunction about what they call content scraping.
Yeah.
That is, taking information from another website, especially another website, but also from other news sites, and then in some cases just putting it on their website, and in other cases actually changing the name of the person who wrote it and just claiming it as your own.
Oh, dear.
And that's happening in newspapers, too, in a more subtle way. I mean, on other websites, people are just blatantly posting other people's stories and hopefully leaving their name. That's considered, you know, the way things are done on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
What is very worrisome is when they then take the name off and then claim it as their own, which is increasingly often. But in a more mild way, newspapers are doing this as well, because they're going around searching for the stories that are hot, borrowing those stories and reframing them with a little bit new information, and then taking them as their own. And so, this is fundamentally changing the way reporting is done, and also what you're going to find is less and less vetting of the information to make sure it's correct. I mean, newspapers will continue to do it, but all those other sites really aren't doing it. And if you go to the alternative sites, you have no way of knowing whether the information is correct or not. I mean, my website is one of the few that actually provides footnoted references, and it's almost unheard of to do that on the internet. But
let me remind our listeners that is literarygulag.com.
Right, and so, you know, that's unusual. But so I just was really struck when I looked at how all newspapers are fighting for their survival and moving to the internet, and then I started to imagine what would happen if we didn't have newspapers and at all, if everything was just undifferentiated, content going over the internet, but no way of verifying its accuracy, and that, from, you know, which is how the internet tends to be displayed anyhow, and that would be a very worrisome concern.
Yes. Well, Diana Sheets, thank you so much. Always interesting to talk to you. I hope we can have another conversation about this and other issues soon. Thank you so much. And this was Diana Sheets. She has the website called literarygulag.com.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Good night.
Good night.